This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Thursday, November 9th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today as we continue our analyzation of our march towards the Progressive Liberal Party's convention. Also, our march towards the by-election in West Grand Bahama and Bimini. So we have an interesting show for today, and we plan to analyze the disclosure. That's what it's going to be talking about. We plan to analyze our disclosure and to deliberate on the recent musings of what is happening in the news regarding, again, the PLP's convention, which is starting tomorrow, Friday, and the by-election, which is going to be two weeks from now. Right? We actually have some trivia questions, which the Long Islanders Association left, and they left some gifts for us to give away. So we're kind of excited about that. And see, Aaron is writing down the questions, so we'll start off with that. And I just got some new songs. I realized I didn't get the songs for Western and West Grand Bahama. They have songs, eh?
No, they were just singing.
I know the candidates were singing, but they have each people running, except what is this guy? Lincoln Bean. Lincoln Bean doesn't have any song. But yeah, the PLP and the FNL have songs. And I'm not sure if Tada has any song either. But they need to send it to me. They need to send it to me as we march towards the by-election so I can play it. Right?
Yeah.
So I'm waiting for the producers to come back so we can actually post our song, play our song, and tell me what you say with that.
Ready for the first trivia question?
But I'm ready for the first trivia question. So, and thank you very much, Aaron Green, for staying back. And as we're going to analyze again the declarations of these candidates who are vying for the West Grand Bahama seat.
Okay, absolutely. Here's the first trivia question for the day for the Long Islanders Association trivia giveaway.
Yes, what are they getting, by the way?
The prize for this first question is a $50 gas voucher to be picked up at the Guardian reception during business hours.
Yes, that's 9 to 5.
Yeah.
Monday through Friday.
Yes.
You can pick it up. Today is Thursday, so you're Friday, and then you have up to Monday, Friday again. This is a $50 gas voucher for if you are able to call in. You're going to do text, no? Or just call in?
I don't know. I think we could do both.
Yeah, but only one prize.
We got two vouchers. The first person to
first
answer.
First person to answer, okay.
Gets the prize.
Okay, that's good. And what is the question they left?
The question is, what are Long Islanders called?
I know that.
It's not a difficult
easy.
One.
What so are the Long first Island- person to text or call, Call in the numbers 323-623-325-4316, 325. See the phone already on 325-4259 and give that answer. And if it's correct, you get this $50 voucher.
Hold on, 242-300-5720 for people in the Family Island.
Or the West Grand Bahama people. Yes, they can call in and give the answer. But producer Patch, the first caller through, let's see if we get the answer for this trivia question. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hello,
you have the answer for the trivia?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead.
Sheep herders.
Let's see what Aaron is saying.
No, it's not sheep herders.
Yep.
My apologies. It's not sheep herders.
Apparently, that's not the answer.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's go to the next one.
No. You got a winner via text.
We get a winner via text ready?
Yep.
Okay, what's the answer?
The answer is sheep runners.
Sheep runners.
The texter with the last four digits 0000.
Mm-hmm.
Is the winner.
Okay.
The answer is sheep runner, not sheep herder.
So call us, still stay on the line because you may be able to
go to the next
question.
No, you got to
give them a chance. We're supposed to say no the answer.
No, because they already call in.
But no, they answer, though.
No, they answer.
Yeah, because I give the question.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, but hold it.
I mean, this is your show. You do the trivia how you want to do it.
You just read the next question.
Okay,
write down the name for that person who was the question, that $50 voucher. For that person, and they could come and collect it either today.
Yeah.
The concierge desk.
Yeah.
Right? We're writing down your particulars right now.
The cell phone number.
And we're asking the second question. Ask that second question.
The second question is, what do people wait for the annual fair?
What they have the long line for.
Yeah. What do people wait for all year?
Okay, let's go to the phone. Let's see if they have the answer. Go ahead, caller.
What they wait for is for that Long Island mutton sauce.
I don't even got to ask Aaron. I don't know what they read.
The answer is famous Long Island mutton.
Okay.
Exactly. Long Island mutton, Long Island mutton sauce.
This person will get the answer. What are they getting for this thing?
The second gift certificate and the last one, two giveaways, is a $50 gas voucher.
Okay, so that's yours, Jen. So you leave your name.
Yes, sir.
And number.
And number with the producer.
With the producer. And if you could pass by today at the Guardian Concierge just downstairs, or next week, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. But leave your number and your name with the producer.
No problem.
Yeah, man. And congratulations, too.
Thank you, sir.
So let's start the show.
Yeah.
Let's start the show. The producer's writing down some information, so I can't have him play the music now. But recently, there was a declaration of, what is a declaration of income? Declaration of liabilities, assets and liabilities. What is the correct name?
It's I'm looking at the form itself to see what they call it. But I imagine it's a financial declaration.
And this financial declaration, it's part of the election process in general. Anyone who is running or wants to vie to be a member of parliament for a constituency, must declare.
It's a part of the parliamentary process.
Mm.
And anybody who wants to be a member of the House of Assembly has to declare.
Usually, every March, there's a general declaration of members of parliament, also permanent secretaries or any senior government officials. March has come and gone.
Mm-hmm.
Have they done that declaration as yet?
Well, we presume that they've done the declaration. They certainly have not gazetted it and published it as required by law.
I know before the opposition leader made mention that his side has declared and is ready to go forward, but he has no clue on what is happening on the government side. Is that there has to be any story since then?
I haven't seen a story indicating that they've been gazetted. I haven't seen a story where the opposition has raised concern or alarm or challenged the government to publish.
I know the chairman of this particular body who does the declaration, Bishop somebody.
Bishop Cooper.
What is chair of what again? What is the title?
He is the chairman of the Public Disclosures Committee.
I know he raised concerns that a number of parliamentarians had no clue or did not understand, appreciate how to follow the form properly.
That was the first year.
That
was the first year after the election. He indicated or suggested or implied that they were, some of them were unaware that the process even existed.
And we were waiting on that information from them.
Right. The second year, he suggested that for some people, the process was very difficult. And the MPs found it difficult to manage, found it difficult to manage the process along with their other parliamentary and professional obligations.
Good. I'm just realizing that actually I have guests today, so we'll speed up the show. Because I remember they supposed to confirm, but that's cool. I'm glad that we have good people. But so what we'll do is, before I go to introduce my guest formally, mm-hmm. let's continue with this program and speed up our analyzation of this.
Right. Good? So but before we get into it, there's a couple of questions that were raised by listeners from yesterday. People reached out and they want clarity as to how the process is supposed to work, right? Particularly with the candidate declarations. A question of who verifies the information provided by the candidates. And as far as I'm aware, the summary declaration, right, is published. The declarations in the disclosure list are supposed to be gazetted, which means that they're accessible to the public. After they've been gazetted, the public can challenge the information laid out in the declaration, right? That's why the gazetting of the declaration, is so important. If I'm not mistaken, of course, I'm not an expert in these procedures, but from the research I did for shows earlier in the year, they're supposed to be gazetted, and the public can look at them, and anybody could get up and say, hey, I think this is incorrect. I want to sort of challenge this, but they have to bring the evidence, right? Like, you can't just say this wrong, do something about it. They have to bring the evidence, I think, to show that there's erroneous information or a false declaration was made.
In one of our shows, we concluded when was the last time it was officially gazetted.
Right. So
which date was that again?
Right. I found the information in, I think, a May 4th, 2022 article by Candia Dames. I may be incorrect, but the article stated that prior to the general election, the last time disclosures and the declarations were gazetted was 2011, and that gazetting only included information up to 2008.
And with the knowledge that the information is gazetted, the public can challenge, right? Perhaps that may be a reason why nothing has been gazetted since 2000.
I hope that's the only reason.
I just don't know. But anyway.
But the problem is that we're left to speculate about one of the most important and fundamental procedures in the Westminster system.
But let's continue our analysis. And I want to mention that the PLP convention started today, actually. It started today. The keynote speaker for today would be the deputy leader, Chester Cooper. And that's again, the PLP convention starts today. So let's say the first candidate that we're going to mention. What's this person name here?
First candidate is Lincoln Michael Bain.
So we started with Lincoln Bain, who is the leader of the COI, who is contesting for the seat for the West, Grand Bahama, and Bimini. He has signatures of how many people there?
Sorry, everybody is required to have, five signatures?
At five?
Yeah.
Okay, five signatures. Five. That's part of the process there. And he is declaring what on that?
All right, so the candidates declare assets, income, liability, right? You want me to go through the whole
list? Yes. Remember to make it quick because still have to transition too.
So under assets, savings account, $46,514.
So you have $46,000 saved inside the savings account. Okay. This is Lincoln Bain, leader of COI. Go ahead.
Current account, that space is blank.
And current account is similar to a check-in account, I think.
Okay. I don't ever have enough money to worry about it.
Yeah.
Securities, $750,000.
What exactly is securities?
That's like stocks. That's investment in certificates and stocks,
income-bearing account type thing.
Stocks.
Stocks. And how much money does Lincoln Bean have there again?
The figure listed next to securities is $750,000.
Yeah, almost $1 million worth of securities. Right? I'm not sure what he has stocks and bonds in, but that's what is reckoned. Is this something that has been audited by any professional persons?
Well, I expect that candidates employ the service of an accountant or a financial expert to ensure that the information that they are providing to the state is correct.
Okay, let's move on. What else there?
But there's no require. I don't think there's a requirement that the information that you provide has to be verified by a financial expert. There's no requirement. So accounts receivable, $250,000.
Accounts receivable means what? Income coming in, right?
You tell me.
I know accountant.
I'm not an accountant either.
Accounts receiving things. That's income. How much money is that?
$250,000. It doesn't have a dollar sign in front of it. I just letting you know, it don't have a dollar sign in front of it. It just say $250.
Dollars or receivable? He's just speaking the money owed to him. But is that accounts payable? Or money owed to him?
That's right.
I understand. Money owed. People owe him money.
I don't like this language. It's like receivable. Why I didn't say money's owed? Receivable is so tenuous.
Hmm. Well, I mean, either way you look at it.
It expresses an uncertainty. Like you may or may not receive it.
That's the reality of money owed to you. You may or may not.
Absolutely.
Okay, go ahead.
Cash value of life insurance, there's nothing in that slot.
Everybody have life insurance.
There's nothing there.
Just forgot to put it there.
Real estate.
Yes, how much real estate?
$600,000.
So besides his receivables, he has, and his, what that one with $700,000?
Securities.
His securities, he has $600,000 worth of real estate, property that he owns. Good, no problem, go ahead.
Mortgages receivable, there's nothing in that slot. Automobiles, $20,000. Other personal, $175,000.
So you have $20,000 worth of of vehicles, because it could be more than one used car. But I mean, or it could be one car, either one.
Or it could be two brand new cars.
For $20,000?
From China.
I understand.
Or India. India, they're making some small, it could be from Africa.
Yeah,
making cars all over the world.
So that completes his
assets.
Anything else there? Any liabilities that he owe anybody?
Oh wait, so, yeah. So total assets $1,836,514.
So Lincoln Bean, the leader of the COI, is a millionaire in terms of assets.
Yeah.
And how much money does he have again in assets?
$1,836,514.
Good. He could be prime minister. He has that type of money. But does he owe
anybody?
That's
what this was.
That's what you're thinking about. But does he owe anybody?
Okay, you want to skip over income and go straight to liabilities?
Of course, you have a job.
Well,
so income. What
under
does,
income?
Yeah.
In the salary slot, there's nothing.
What do you mean nothing?
It's blank. It's like, I want to make that distinction because it doesn't say non-applicable. You know, like you put an N and an A. Some people put a dash. I don't know what the dash means, but this just has nothing.
Nothing.
Salary.
So what does Lincoln Bean do?
He goes live at 8 p.m.
Besides that?
I'm not sure.
Anyway, just move on.
He agitates.
My washing machine agitates, but I don't pay it.
I thought your washing machine aggravates. But go ahead.
Securities income.
Yes.
We're now in the second column, income. Securities income, $20,000. Real estate income, $42,000. Other income, $50,400.
So money is coming in. So he doesn't need to have a job per se because he has income coming in from varied places. Good. Let's move on to the next candidate.
Liabilities.
We ain't finished yet. Liabilities. Who does he owe?
Okay. First category, account payable. There's a zero with a line through it.
So that's a clear answer. That's not a dash.
Right.
It says the payable means you pay out people that you owe.
It says, I guess that's zero.
Yes. Despite the loss. Anyway, go ahead.
Notes payable.
Notes payable. What does that mean?
I guess that's like a
expenses?
Car note.
Okay.
Yeah. Go zero.
Zero.
Mortgages payable. zero.
And he's make sure it's indicated zero. It's not a dash or a blank.
Like I tell you, it's a circle with a forward slash through it.
So it's clear. It's zero.
Debt.
Debt.
It's a circle with a forward slash running through it.
So he owes nobody. Debt free.
That's what that says.
Okay. I go with that. Anyone else we need to analyze? Because I'm trying to go through so I can go to my next guest.
You cool with that?
I cool with that. I'm not complete. We'll analyze it. We'll do an analysis on it later on a different
show.
Okay,
so I can't say, I'm not going to say anything more.
No, don't say anything
more. Okay, the next one is Tennille Burrows.
Tennille Burrows.
And we're just looking at the declarations as they have been published.
Yes.
In the paper. So we go to Tennille Burrows' assets, savings account, N.A. Current account, $1,500.
You say savings account, how much?
N.A.
That means not applicable.
Yeah. I know what that means. I don't have enough money to even save, so what's the point?
Okay.
Non-applicable.
Okay.
Many of us know what that means. A lot of us don't, but current accounts, $1,518.88.
So that's like a checking account, right? Something similar. So yeah. That means she has money saved. Good, I understand. Right. So the savings account isn't applicable because she has a current account.
Right. Securities.
That's the shares thing.
Yeah, nothing.
Okay.
Accounts receivable, none. Mm-hmm. Cash value of life insurance, nothing.
Everybody has insurance, though.
Do they? Does NHI count as insurance?
That's medical and thing. I talk about life insurance. Go ahead. Go ahead, continue.
Real estate, $10,000.
That's good.
Mortgages receivable, nothing. Automobiles, $1,500.
Yeah, it's like a Japanese car.
Yeah. Other personal items, MacBook Pro, $1,500.
What's a MacBook Pro?
It's a professional, that's a ProPod device. Most people who use Apple products are artists, graphic designers. So I presume that this is a working machine versus a recreational use machine.
Okay, so let's say that's her job. Does anything say salary on that?
Nothing.
You can't have a MacBook Pro and say that's professional device and you don't make no money. So you're confusing me.
This is where your great financial acumen jump up right now in this moment. This is when the numbers are not adding up. I just check in. Okay, securities income, nothing. Real estate income, nothing. Other income, nothing. Liabilities, account payable, nothing.
She doesn't owe anybody.
Right.
Only me won't have debt.
Notes payable, just because you don't.
I have thousands of dollars in debt.
But you don't have the right friends. You have thousands and thousands of the wrong friends.
Clearly.
Mortgages payable, nothing. Debts, nothing. So total assets for Ms. Tennille Burrows, $14,518.96, I think that says.
That's good, especially if you don't owe anybody.
Total income, $0. Total liabilities, $0.
I'm not sure if I, as man, can survive without having any kind of income coming in at all for the whole year. It's November, no? You need to have something. Let's go on to somebody else.
That's why I sell sea grapes, buddy. That's why I sell cigarettes.
You're an entrepreneur, though. But surely you have an income.
She ain't running, though.
There you go.
As soon as it come in, it go out, buddy. That's my income.
I know, but this is what Jeans, Catlin, and friends need to do a show. But we'll talk about that later.
Our next candidate, Mr. Ricardo Grant.
That's the bishop?
Yes.
I know he makes money, because bishops just makes money.
Do
Baptist bishops.
Bishoping? You don't make money bishoping?
Serving God.
You certainly don't make money serving God. I am certain about that. Serving God is not about making money at all. In fact, like when you enter the seminary, the first thing they say is, you interested in money? No, this is the right place for you.
But with sowing seeds, though. Surely if you sow a seed, you just get blessed.
With a plant.
Let's go with the good bishop.
All right. Assets. Savings accounts, $8,598.69.
That's good. That's good money. Mm-hmm. That's good money for your savings account. Because most people have like less than 1,000. So the bishop is doing well.
And most parishioners have less than 1,000.
Because they give it all to the bishop. Anyway, let's go. Continue.
Bishoping is good work. Dear Mr. Grant.
Bishop Grant.
Dear Bishop Grant. Forgive us in our irreverence. Okay, savings account 8548.69. Securities $10,000.
So he has investments.
Right. Current account, nothing listed. Accounts receivable, nothing listed. Cash value of life insurance, nothing listed.
How come nobody have insurance?
But see, he's a bishop. I cool with this.
The churches pay for his.
No, he's a bishop. He don't need life insurance. He good.
Because he
has no way going.
Eternal life.
Yeah, right. You don't need insurance.
That makes sense to me. You know, actually, go ahead, Eric.
Real estate, nothing listed. Mortgages receivable, nothing listed. Automobiles, $23,000.
Wait. As a senior man in the church, he needs to have a house.
He does. It's called the house of the Lord.
Okay. Continue.
Other personal, automobiles, $23,000.
That's good. That's a Jeep.
Other personal, $110,000.
He has $110,000 doing what exactly? What is that? Other?
It just says other personal. That's the category. It's just other personal. See, for me,
jewelry?
Could be. I mean, you know, the cost of an average Rolex.
Gifts. Especially if you're retiring from bishop. They just give you good gifts.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
My thing is, are the categories as listed sufficient, right? Like, Do we need more information on the form itself to, what you call it? I wanted to say aggregate, but to make a distinction, more clarity into what personal, other personal means, right? Like, that's very, very loose and broad. You ready to go? Oh,
yeah, let's go.
Let's go to the next column. Income, salary, $28,800.
So as a bishop, the bishop makes $28,000 a year. That's what, like $400 a week? $500 a week? $600? I got to work that out. No, we don't have time to work that out. Okay, you call whilst I work that out. Right. How much money is it?
$28,800. Securities income, nothing listed. Real estate income, nothing listed. Other income, $12,000 listed. Liabilities, account payable, nothing listed. Notes payable, nothing listed. Mortgages payable, nothing listed. Debts, $17,000.
So he owes someone $17,000. Right. Actually, that's $530 a week he makes as a bishop.
So $500?
And $38, right. Thereabouts.
Total assets, $151,598.69. Total income, $40,800. Total liability, $17,000. Now I understand Miriam. Now I understand, Miriam. I apologize.
What you understand?
Because when you're talking about money that you ain't gonna never have, you get upset and you make mistakes. I understand, Miriam.
Hmm. I'm sure that the rest of the money is either through book signing or when you go in the guest preacher and
yeah,
you say, I need everybody to bring a love offering.
There you go.
The love offering makes up to... Anyway, let's go to the next person.
Absolutely. Kingsley Smith.
Kingsley Smith. This is the government employee.
The former, because remember he had to tender his resignation. To be able to formally participate.
He quitted his job.
No, he put in his resignation, I think.
That ain't called quitting?
That's different from quitting. Putting in the resignation suggests that we still cool. Things may happen. I may be back. Quitting, I don't like y'all. If you see me, don't talk to me.
Okay.
That's what that means.
I remember I had a bank job and when I quit, I tendered this resignation now. But anyway, let's go. Continue.
Assets, savings accounts. Account, nothing listed.
See, he has no savings.
Current account, nothing listed.
He has no... See, my mother would have told my sister, don't marry that man, because he ain't got nothing safe. I just said what my mother would say.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Securities, $200,000.
That's good. That's some good money there.
Maybe that's where he's saving his money, securities.
When you get paid, you put all the money in securities.
In stocks.
Okay.
I put mine in beef stock. Make some soup. That's what I'm going to have to eat. Accounts receivable, $65,000. Cash value of life insurance, nothing listed. Real estate, nothing listed.
Nobody have life insurance.
Mortgages receivable, nothing listed. Huh. I find that...
How much does he make per year?
Hold on, wait. Let's finish that list.
Okay.
Automobiles, $52,000. Property, $60,000.
So he has property.
Yeah.
No house on it because it's only $60,000.
Right. And so I now one of the things I need is a clarity on the distinction between real estate and property. Because it's property.
Real estate is real estate.
I believe property is property anything below Wolf Road. And real estate is anything west of...
Where are you going?
JFK roundabout. Mm-hmm. I just... Because you provide more clarity for me.
Yes.
Income, salary, $34,750.
I did not know a chief passport officer, the head of the passport, makes 30... You know, I didn't work that out. How much money is that again?
$34,750. Securities income, nothing listed. Real estate income, nothing listed. Other income, $25,000.
That's $660 per week he made as the chief passport officer.
You think he got paid for designing the training module for the PLP candidates?
And few people know that he designed the training module for the PLP in general, for the candidates.
Anyway, let's...
Did he get paid for that or he did it free?
I don't know. I'm not a PLP member. Okay. I go to Bermuda to see if I could be a PLP member. Account payable, liabilities, nothing listed. Account payable, notes payable, nothing listed. Mortgages payable, nothing listed. Debts, $243,000.
That's a lot of money to owe people when you only make $667 a week.
Yeah.
But that's like a whole...
I don't want to cast any aspersions.
I'll do that for you.
Yeah. $243,000. That's reasonable for medical debt.
Yeah. House debt. College loan.
It could be all of that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So total assets,
He just did a law degree. He might just borrow the money for that too.
True.
Yeah.
True. Total assets, $377,000. You know how expensive the wig and the gown is?
Not $370,000. But it does show that he has assets and that this assets is viable.
Right. Income, $59,750. Total liabilities, $243,000. So his net worth is $134,000.
Good for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go. We get, what's that, one more? We do it very quickly.
Yes.
Mr. Swain.
That's an independent candidate.
Right. I think his name is Damien.
Okay.
Damien Swain, a little difficult reading his handwriting. Let's go to the list. Asset, savings account, $5,000. Current account, $10,000. Securities, nothing listed. Accounts receivable, nothing listed. Cash value of life insurance, nothing listed. Real estate, nothing listed. Mortgages receivable, nothing listed. Automobile, $60,000.
Why this seems more believable in terms of everyone you analyze, you say, hey, this seems good. This seems legitimate, like a typical working class bohemian.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I know some people who owe $60,000 in a car for a car.
Yeah, but that's not what that says. I think that the automobile is worth $60,000.
Yeah, or he could have two cars.
Yeah, he could have multiple cars.
Yeah.
Could be a good man, buy a car for his wife.
Yeah, or a car and a truck.
Yeah, keep it in his name so she don't get in trouble.
Good.
Good stuff. Income, salary, $30,000.
That's real, yeah.
Yeah, because if I get a ticket, the car, this is my husband's car.
Yeah.
I wasn't even driving it, sir.
Yeah.
He just gone to the bathroom in the bush. Yeah. I didn't even say nothing.
I understand.
Real estate income, nothing. Other income, $35,000. Liabilities column, account payable, nothing. Notes payable, nothing. Mortgages payable, nothing.
He owes no mortgage, but he has a $60,000 car.
And debt is $5,000. Dollars. Yes, you did miss the Lincoln Bain analysis texter.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So we would want to do a formal analysis of this, but we have guests. And I want to run through that. And tomorrow's another day.
Yeah, and not just that. We need more clarity.
And we can analyze that.
And what I mean is we analyze whether the process also needs to be amended.
Clearly the process needs to be amended.
Yeah.
Because this just seems to be just guesswork. You could put anything down.
Yeah, but no, you can. See, that's the problem. You could just put anything down. The question is, what are the mechanisms used to verify this information? Is there a requirement of the state or a state mechanism like the Public Disclosure Commission Committee to verify the information, right? All of these things, we need more a fuller time.
So we're going to take a break right now. So, interesting producer. And when we come in, we'll come in back with one of those songs that we have there. And then we'll play the other one in between as we introduce our guests from James Catherine and Friends. Again, they're here. I'm excited about that. So we'll be right back, and we'll find out what part of this comedy that they're going to embrace. Right? We'll be right back.
The holiday season is upon us, and everyone's going to be looking for those special items on their gift list. Merchants, here's your opportunity to have your products placed in the Nassau Guardians Holiday Gift Guide. This year, shoppers are going to be searching for perfect presents at the right price. Anything from a family island weekend getaway to electronics, jewelry, and even clothes. Santa Claus is coming to town. For one low price, you can have your ads published twice this December in the Nassau Guardians Holiday Gift Guide. Deadline for registration is Wednesday, November 30th. Be sure to contact your Nassau Guardian sales agent or call the Nassau Guardian directly at 302-2300. Be sure to ask about our 15-30-second Christmas radio commercial bonanza.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
The Nassau Guardians Holiday Gift Guide. Our gift to you. Because Christmas is...
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Go.
Welcome to Nassau, folks. Morgan Biazzi.
Folks, we're up in line. That's what you need to do. All of the delegates are packing on to. Folks, we're up in line. That's what you need to do. All of the delegates are packing on to. On November 10th.
And that's one of the theme songs for Robin Lang. We have one for Fred Mitchell. He has his own song for Chairman also. We plan to play that. So in a couple of seconds, we'll play that too. But I just want to formally introduce our guest we have in studio. He's the one who orchestrated all of this. I could blame somebody just in case they say I got to go home. So I say, it's not me.
Yeah, this was an improv skit.
It's an improv skit.
Directed by.
Even though he didn't know this was happening. He just
that's what improv is.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what improv is. The one and only... Honka Chunk Entertainment, the baddest tennis player in the history of Tom Bird Park, Mr. Chigozie Ejuma, head MC of the Hanahasty Tynes clan. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Aaron. Good morning, Cecil. How are y'all doing this morning?
It's good. It's good. It's good.
Absolutely. We forgot that we were having... I heard that you were the new minister of Wakes on People's Nerves.
No, just want to make sure we keep everybody accountable, eh?
Yeah, without a doubt.
So this exercise that I witnessed firsthand this morning was indeed a good one. And I appreciate the brief analysis that was conducted this morning. But I just want to make sure we understand a few things. So one, this is a requirement for all candidates, yes?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. It is gazetted and published so the public has viewership of what these candidates come to the table with.
Yes.
Okay. What then happens after that?
I don't know.
Exactly. Nothing. Okay, so a candidate comes in here.
Well, I can tell you what is supposed to happen, mm-hmm. right? The commission is supposed to receive these and process them, the declarations. They're supposed to create a summary declaration for publication, I think, in the papers. And then the information is supposed to be passed on to the leader of the opposition and the prime minister, who constitute two members of the commission, I think, for this purpose, and there's a third member, and then the prime minister is supposed to direct that the information be published.
Okay. So, obviously, there's a process. My only concern is what is the follow-through as a result of the process. You raised a good point. When the numbers are being published, are these being audited or vetted by anybody? I'm sure as part of the process, that should be taking place. So mm-hmm. we can assume that that is being done. However, what happens for the next general election if the same candidates come forward? Who is vetting the change?
Mm-hmm.
All right? Because we all know a few things. One is the pay of a government of a minister or a member of parliament is not significant.
I think it's 28,000.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
20,000, right? So unless you come into the table with some money in your pockets to help subsidize, or you got some good support from various persons in your constituency or within the country to help your cause or causes that you want to represent for your specific community
mm-hmm.
that you represent.
But the 28,000 isn't for that. The 28,000 is your living expenses.
No, but I'm getting to a point.
Yeah, yeah.
My point is, what is your net worth? Who is monitoring the change in your net worth after being a part of government? And being a part of government, you're restricted from doing other things. Your time is consumed for the sake of the public right. duty.
And I
would like to say that there has been no member of parliament who came in just making 20,000 who have ever became a millionaire. They all are working class people in our House of Assembly. All of them are financially challenged. And recently, Fred Mitchell, the chairman of the
paper. All,
straight across the board, unless they had money beforehand.
You mean like 100% all?
100% all. And recently, the Minister of Foreign Affairs mentioned that they all are...
At the end of the Monday, wallets all empty.
Yeah,
wallets empty.
Challenged. They all challenged.
Bank account flush, finish.
Similarly, like how the people who did disclosures here don't have no savings account or life insurance, they all challenge. That's why they need to have a government-funded life insurance. It was mentioned in the House Assembly recently.
That yeah. don't even make any sense, Mr. Nuri.
No?
I mean, perhaps it's just that the words don't sound like English to me. The part where you said uh-huh. that's why we need a government-funded insurance
for member of parliament.
Parliamentarians.
Yeah.
No.
No?
No.
What?
No.
What?
No.
Anyway, this.
See, here's what I can tolerate. If a parliamentarian requires a livable wage, then every other citizen requires a livable wage.
We can talk about that. We can talk about that livable
right?
wage.
So if you're telling me that the 28,000 is not sufficient for them to maintain life insurance, then let's have a conversation about that. But don't tell me that the 28,000 ain't for life insurance. That's for life insurance. You are required, see, you in a position where you can live just like the people you legislating on behalf of have to live.
Let's do this quick call and producer, let's get that second song ready to play. And we have Jacob. We even need to say why Jacob is here though. Why are you here, by the way?
Well, I'm here.
I wasn't sure.
Yeah, I am here because, listen, due to popular demand. We had sold out shows. We had three sold out shows when we came the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I've been bombarded with emails, messages, members of the cast, people in the community. They see me in the food store, wherever they see me. Man, you got to bring it back. I couldn't get tickets. I couldn't, you know, you mm-hmm. guys are sold out. So we decided, we'll do another round of
plus, it. Plus, you're doing it in the black box, right?
Yes.
So pause. See, that's PLP math. If you're doing it in the black box.
Say PLP
math. And when you did it on the main Dundas stage, you required 5 shows. That means for the black box, you need a minimum of 15 shows.
15 shows.
So when is it on call?
Tomorrow, which is Friday,
uh-huh.
The 10th. And then again on Sunday at 5 p.m., which is Sunday, the 12th of November.
Okay. We can talk about that again tomorrow. Let's go to the first caller there, please. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Morning, Cecil. Good morning, Aaron.
Morning,
guest studio.
Go ahead, Jeff.
You're being very facetious this morning.
Doing my best.
Let me. Yeah, it sounds so. Let me, from my recollection of disclosures, this is why the disclosure committee is so important. This is why all MPs are required to disclose and to date. From my recollection, I believe all of the MPs currently sitting in the House have not disclosed. It is one thing to put in a disclosure saying that you have X amount of assets, and we all know the salaries that is supposed to be paid per MP, unless you are also a cabinet minister.
Yes.
You get X amount more. For you to come in with a dollar and end up at the end of 5 years, if it lasts that long, $3, $4, and $5 million. Now,
no such member.
Hold on. We are not dismissing the fact that you don't have other investments out there. But the other investments that you have out there, based upon the disclosure that you have submitted, it's supposed to add up. We have seen too many times in our parliament, people go in and disclose X, and then when you turn around, they get X, Y, and Z. But the question that you ask is so poignant. Which committee, or is there a committee that monitors on a yearly basis the disclosures that these people put in to ensure that the disclosures are accurate? That is the question, and I've asked that before on this radio before.
Mm.
Which committee actually does a factual check to ensure that these persons are disclosing properly? And lastly, the parliamentarians are also supposed to disclose, I think by law, for the next 5 years after they would have demitted office.
Mm-hmm.
Who is following that up? You see, we have so many checks and balances, and it seems as if nobody's really doing true due diligence to ensure that these persons are, as the average ordinary citizen, adhering to the laws. They are the examples that we're supposed to follow, and many of them appear not to be following and be laying down the examples that should be followed. Thanks for taking my call. I will continue to listen.
Certainly. And since we press some time, producer, patch the next song through, and then we'll analyze that too, right? I still maintain there has been no member of parliament, no parliamentarian who has come in as a working class individual who has left.
How would we know? How do you know? Well, I mean, are you able to use the
disclosure? We'll be in there. We'll be able to see it.
If it were there.
There you go.
So what's your proof?
My proof is that there's no proof.
This is what I was about to say.
So that means you're assuming. It can't be assuming.
As far as I'm concerned, nobody disclosed. See? I put it there. I don't want to say that Michael Pintard is a liar. He say his people disclose. I can't see the disclosures. I'm just saying, as far as I'm concerned, nobody disclosed.
I don't like all this intrigue you're trying to say. No, go ahead.
I mean, do you know where the disclosures have been published?
No, I don't know where the disclosures have been published.
You know where they've been gazetted?
Uncle Chuck, you said it?
Pardon me?
That's the same thing. Go you, press
you don't think, you don't think somebody would have said, hey, we gazetted the things?
No. I don't like this conversation.
Cecil, come on, you're so adamant.
Hey, sure.
That there's none.
There's none.
I disagree.
You might have to call the police. Let's hear the song.
Are you ready? Oh, yeah. Are you ready? Oh yeah, come on delegates, let's go. Listen up, PLB, we ain't come to fight. Hey, we come to make the choice right.
Shoo,
wait up for me now, watch you run behind my line. Everybody know Fred is the drama. Everybody pray, support Fred. Chester, support Fred. Fred Mitchell, he never scared.
No, he never scared.
Reform, restructure. Fred Mitchell is the doctor. The PLP want Fred Mitchell to stay. Continue.
That's what happened to PMAJ.
There you go. That's nice. We got to play that song again.
No,
we don't want to hear it.
No.
What you have against my MP?
If he had sung the song himself, I'd say play it. He's a senior man.
I see you listened to Robin Lang's song. It didn't say not a word there, though.
She's a junior woman.
Okay, she's a lioness, though.
That's right.
Okay.
I don't even agree with her politics, and I have to stand with her.
Kobe Garaw? There you go. Let's go to the next caller. Caller, welcome to Garden Radio AM.
Hello,
how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing fine.
Good.
I enjoyed this conversation. Let me ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
If I'm in Aaron Green, can help me with this too. As the Buccaneer deprived for running, it seems like you're going to have money and wealth to run. Can I run with nothing?
No. the PLP at the last convention, 2019, changed the rules of the game. And you have to pay $2,500 to challenge to run for leader, $2,000 for deputy leader, $1,500 for chairman, and $200 for other positions.
I don't run for office. Sorry about that.
Yeah, you got to pay a nomination fee.
No, I mean the general election.
You got to pay a nomination fee.
Nomination, $2,500?
$400. That's what it still is, $400.
Still $400.
Then I could run.
Yeah, you could run.
But we are out of time. I appreciate it. We'll try to continue this conversation tomorrow. We have Jacoby. How do you pronounce your name? Here again, tomorrow again. Anyway, Guardian
James
Radio.
James Catlin and Friends.
Yes. Encore again for Saturday. Okay.
No, Friday.
And
Friday.
Sunday.
Friday and Sunday. This has been Guardian Radio in AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much, Aaron Green. Have a wonderful day.